Next is an excerpt of a meeting with devotees recorded on May 21st, 2000 in Dublin, Ireland.
I've marked for the next one, Govardhan Leela at end of lecture. There's a tape, it's a long lecture. Prabhupada's lectures are usually half hour on one side of these Bhaktivedanta tape ministry cassettes. But this one goes, I think, two full sides. It was a morning lecture that he gave. Perhaps it was a Saturday, 1966 though. And Prabhupada, we had some extra guests there too, I remember. And so he took advantage of that opportunity, speaking to them. So for Govardhan Leela, he started talking about the demigod Indra, particularly about how we have a debt to pay to him and we have to perform yajna. And if people don't perform yajna, they won't get the natural resources and so on. It was a very broad-based lecture. And he wasn't telling any of the Leela, actually, about baby Krishna and lifting the Govardhan Hill. And then just at the end of the lecture, then he kind of sees like how much time has been taken up. And I just kind of like the way he winds up the lecture with some telling of the Leela. And then I think they took it off the end, but I had a tape before that was unedited. And then he says at the end, so we will be offering the prasadam. We'll be having a prasadam at 12 o'clock. So the offering will be, he exchanges some words with somebody at 11, is it? Yes, and so everyone, you are invited. I think that's been edited off.
So it is a long study, 3-4 chapters. Of course, it will take some time. I don't think he can give us so much time. The result is that when Krishna talked like this, then his father agreed not to perform the sacrifice. Because all the inhabitants of Braja Vrindavan, they are so much fond of Krishna. Whatever Krishna will say, they will accept. So although Krishna was a boy, so he implored his father and other elderly gentlemen present there that there is no need of performing the sacrifice. So they stopped sacrifice. As a result of the stopping, Indra became very much angry and there was torrents of rain, incessant rain, and very vehemently. So the whole village and whole tract of land comprising the Brajabhumi, they become overflooded, and the cows and the animals and the people become too much afflicted. So they had no other source. They approached Krishna as protector. Krishna protector. So at that time Krishna said, yes, I give you protection. So he was, although a boy of 6 or 7 years old, he lifted that hill. Any time you go to India, you'll see the hill. It is not less than at least 5-6 miles area, very big hill. That hill was lifted by him, and he kept that hill in his hand for 7 days. And then everything was cleared. Then Indra prayed him. So there are many things after this. So today, Krishna lifted this hill, therefore his name is Girihan.
It's a good wind-up from a long lecture. I guess one question that could be brought up is the balance or the attitudes we have toward hearing straight philosophy or basic philosophy and nectar stories. I was like thinking, well, what is my mentality? Why did I pick this out? Why not pick out something he said about sacrifice? Certainly Prabhupada did speak a lot of Leela and nectar, but he didn't want us ever to think it was just a sentimental thing or a play thing. So he always gave us a lot of, as he called it, scientific philosophy, so we'd be able to answer questions, because people are not going to accept these stories. They accept them just as childish mythology and so on. But the devotees begin to hanker for them at the same time. Sometimes the question comes up is, well, Prabhupada didn't give us enough of this nectar, so we have to look around for it elsewhere. But he did. In Chaitanya Charitamrita and Krishna book especially. We should understand that there's so much nectar in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, and in his purports, Krishna asking us to surrender to him with pure devotion, how pure devotion is above everything else. That really implies all of the sweetness of the more advanced topics, if you will. But here it's like, he's our spiritual father or spiritual grandfather. And just to hear the way he says it, it's such a nice thing. And it's really can't be replaced by someone else saying it. I used to feel like that in the very beginning. Sometimes someone would visit. I remember I went to Boston. And sometimes an Indian person would come by, and he would want to tell us pastimes of Krishna. And I wanted just things, and there were things I hadn't even heard Prabhupada say, and I didn't want to hear it. I thought he was spoiling my understanding. He might be enthusiastic to say, "Yes, well, Krishna once he went with the gopis into the forest, and they did this and they did that." And I only wanted to hear that spoken by Prabhupada, and then by Prabhupada's followers. I was the first one to type the Krishna book. And then I used to be able to speak Krishna stories before any of the devotees knew them in the class. And I was really proud about that and took great relish in giving classes. And then one time Prabhupada came to the storefront in Boston. And at one point he asked me to get up and say something to the audience about Krishna consciousness. So I started speaking, and then I started telling the story of how the gopis, the elderly gopis, come and they complain to Mother Yasoda about your son. He's coming and he's stealing everything. And then the audience, they became really like electric and blissful when I was saying that. I didn't know, something was up. And then I looked over at Prabhupada and he was smiling like anything. That he liked to hear even me talk about the pastimes as I had heard them from him. Anything on this point of the Govardhan story and what I made out of it? Yeah.
I think in Gurmaj, I've never been a great fan of nectar sessions. Oh. They're called. But I was thinking, because the way, and mostly because Prabhupada didn't kind of, he's always very much emphasized, didn't act, and about 45 minutes talking philosophy and then short in the pastime. But in one sense, it seems natural too, like one sense that the way that has happened since Prabhupada left, most devotees researched and these stories came out.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of devotees now who know lots and lots of stories in pastime. So it seemed like, in one sense, it's easier in one sense to tell a story than it is to speak the philosophy behind the story. So it seemed like Prabhupada's emphasis was to explain the philosophy because that was his job.
Yeah.
And later on, all these other stories that devotees found out and had read about, they would come out in time, but I guess it was his imperative to, well, these stories come out, everybody needs to know the philosophy behind these stories.
Yeah.
It doesn't become central.
And then connected to that, I think of in Prabhupada's last months and weeks in Vrindavan, and even before that, he was strongly emphasizing this Bhaktivedanta Institute, and he would gather Swarup Damodar and the others around him and say, you know, you have to, in their language, you have to speak stuff that's Darwin's theory, and your scientists use their bombastic language and argument, and you defeat them. I cannot do it, you can do it. That's another aspect of Prabhupada seeing his mission was to stop this misled civilization, and he saw, oh, Darwin is really a big rascal for misleading everyone, and this theory, this has to be stopped. Because what is a representative of Braja Kishore, Srimati Radharani have to do with defeating the scientists of the world. But that's what he thought. This revolution has to be at the root, or the people will not be able to hear the pastimes. And they'll always take them as mythology. And he did seem to stress that. And the other thing is, the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is conjugal affairs more even than the other pastimes in Vrindavan. A lot of Indians who worship Krishna, they worship him as a child, baby Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and Radha. So Prabhupada was especially careful not to give us a lot of that because we were so immersed in sex. I just heard a lecture, speaking of excerpts, it's another good example. I was present, it was an outdoor festival in San Diego, and on green grass, and we had a pandal. And Prabhupada started his lecture, and he started right off like he was going to tell the history of Lord Chaitanya, the biography. He said Lord Chaitanya was born 90 miles from Calcutta. He had a very beautiful wife, affectionate mother. When he was 24, he left and he took sannyas. And all of a sudden there's an interruption. And Prabhupada said, what is he saying? And the devotees, and then one devotee voice you hear clearly, he's saying he wants to have sex more than once a month. And then Prabhupada says, he's creating disturbance. And Prabhupada sounds kind of ruffled. And then he stops. And all of a sudden his lecture changes course and he says, sex life is the great entanglement. And then he gives this real heavy lecture out there in Balboa Park in San Diego about how everyone is, and not just illicit sex, he says, but even the regulated sex. And it can be done once a month, 5 days after the woman has menstrual period, otherwise no sex. And he goes on, and this man says that he wants to have sex, it is all right, but if he tries to have it more than once a month, it'll be cats and dogs, and the world will be hell, because there'll be unwanted population. And So that's the reason. If he had just started in talking about too much Radha and Krishna pastimes, they would have taken it. He said, yes, so when our boys and girls in our movement, I don't let them live together without getting married. He said, that's a great sinful act. So we get them married and they can have sex for raising nice Krishna conscious children. And so he had to deal with that phenomenon of promiscuity by which we would mistake Radha and Krishna to be another lovable couple. But I made the point also that you can't say that Prabhupada didn't, you know, dish out these things very plentifully. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is so deep. Lord Chaitanya's feeling of separation from Krishna in the mood of Radharani. All the verses are quoted from Rupa Goswami's plays and everything. Lord Chaitanya's madness. As you pointed out, in the decades that have followed, Prabhupada's faithful followers have come out with so many different books and everything. And they're done with the consciousness of Prabhupada. Not taking it away from that mood.